The United Nations considers a war stopped even more important than a war won.
If our cities go down, in my opinion, our nation will go down.
You have to think about your dream and what you want to do.
All we were trying to do was just get music for all people.
It was nearly 50 years ago when Michigan music lovers attended a Woodstock-like music festival in South Central Michigan. But not everyone was happy about it.
So we decided to put our home up for sale after the festival. We couldn't go through another one. The property surrounds us, the park property on three sides, and we lost a lot of sleep.
The kids that go to rock festivals have the right to express themselves, I suppose, in the same sense that the winos on Skid Row have the right to express themselves.
It was the worst drug orgy that was ever held in the United States. It was dangerous to the people. The people weren't here to hear the music. They were here to absorb drugs. 90% of the population in that park were drug addicts.
Well, those are the voices of the people near Goose Lake, Michigan, following the three-day Goose Lake Music Festival, which happened back on the first weekend of August in 1970. It's Wednesday, time to talk our state's history with our partners at the Michigan History Center. Here today to dig into the Goose Lake Music Festival is Mark Harvey. And boy, the pitchforks and torches were out for that, weren't they, Mark?
So angry, yeah.
Now, what brought about this idea to hold a Woodstock-sized music festival just east of Jackson?
Richard Songer from Southfield, who was a businessman, young businessman, around 35 years old, had the idea, was a music enthusiast, and wanted to create a place, a music park, that could host large-scale music events like Woodstock. This is about a year after, almost a year
to the day. It is a year, yeah.
Yeah, after Woodstock, which, you know, in some people's opinions, like the residents around Goose Lake, it didn't go so well. So Richard wanted to make a better, more organized music festival, like on the scale of Woodstock. So he bought around 370 acres from a local woman, Olga Greenwood, in late May of 1970, and hatched this idea to have the Goose Lake Park Music Festival.
Fast turnaround when you think he bought the property in May and pulled this festival off in August. What were some of the things that Richard and his promotion team did to try to make Goose Lake stand out from other festivals?
I can't get over the logistics involved. The date of the sale, when I looked at it, was May 23rd, 1970. And one of the things they did, unlike at Woodstock, was they literally fenced in the entire property. So imagine ordering fence for 370-plus acres and then installing it in 2 months' time. They actually tried to soften people up with a nice country concert July 18th with Merle Haggard and Sonny James. Given the residents' response, they probably should have let off with Lawrence Welk.
But, I think you're right.
But they did try to soften them up a little bit before they got to the actual August festival. But they tried some really different, unique music festival features that you see today. They issued admission chips. They were poker chip style admission chips. They were one price, all admission. They had a movement meadow, they called it, where the White Panthers and the Serve the People groups were there to talk and collaborate and try to get people involved in their movement. They had what was called Open City with three staffed hospitals with actual MDs on site. They had a free kitchen, so no one would go hungry. They had provided free food. One of the first things they did when they bought the property was build permanent restroom facilities to try to alleviate the sanitary conditions that they had at Woodstock.
Huh.
Another unique feature was the rotating stage that allowed one act to begin while the other finished. So lots of interesting tweaks to what they saw at Woodstock.
Of course, the music fan of me is dying to ask the question, because I don't remember, even though I was in high school at the time. Who were some of the big acts who performed?
I'm sure I'm gonna miss the one where one of the listeners was, that was my favorite band, and he didn't mention it, but here we go.
Okay.
Not in any order of allegiance here. Alice Cooper, Bob Seger, The Stooges, Savoy Brown, Jethro Tull, Rod Stewart when he was with The Faces, Joe Cocker, The James Gang featuring Joe Walsh. And, you know, when I was in college, I listened to Graham Parsons and the Flying Burrito Brothers, and they were there. So
that is quite the lineup, again, considering that I'm sure he was trying to lay ground to get all of these acts, but that's quite the turnaround, and it is a very good, I'd go to that right now, if I could.
Yeah, the price for a full week, and actually, Rod, there's a story, Rod Stewart had so much fun, he stayed an extra day to watch some of the other acts, but it was $15 for the chip before July 3rd, and then after July 3rd, it was $20, and there was no admission at the gate. One of the other unique things they allowed, though, was you could work your way in. So if you couldn't afford it or you didn't get a ticket, you could show up and work until they decided you had worked enough to gain admission. So if you sell programs or pick up trash or whatever, you could get in that way.
Boy, oh boy. Well, certainly if you're going to put on a music festival of this scope and size, you know, you're going to make a splash. Any idea how many people came?
The estimates were around 200,000. I think there was... In the aftermath of it, there was lots of finger-pointing saying they offered too many admission chips and people disagreed on the attendance figures. But from the state police reports that we've seen and local news accounts, I think that right around 200,000 is pretty accurate.
Good size. But as you said, finger-pointing, which takes us to the very contentious relationship among the promoters, among local residents, and government officials. Seems to be a lot greater for this Goose Lake Festival than others. What went down here?
Well, as you heard the testimonies of local residents, they weren't happy about it. Law enforcement took a unique approach to policing the event because it was fenced in. The state police had undercover people inside the park, and they were documenting everything that was going on, both through reports and photographically, but they made no arrests inside. It was pretty much leave them alone inside the park. If there was things that were bad, they waited till people exited the park to make an arrest. I think there was only around 160 or 165 arrests outside the park, which in comparison to 200,000 people is pretty minor.
It really is.
Yeah, and so from that respect, it was not a huge deal, but Governor Milliken made a statement saying there was deplorable and open sale and use of drugs at the festival and called for the Attorney General to investigate. Frank Kelly went on record saying, quote, "I think we've seen the first and last rock concert of that size in Michigan." And the local prosecuting attorney indicted Richard Sunger for distribution of drugs, which a year later he was found not guilty by a jury.
Wow.
They really cracked down on it, and there was supposed to be a follow-up festival that same Labor Day, but it was canceled, and there was never another music festival there again.
And it was supposed to be, if I'm correct, the world's first permanent music festival site.
Exactly. That was the whole idea. And,
wow.
And when Sunger created it with some others from Detroit.
Well, Russ Gibb, the legendary Russ Gibb,
of course, DJ
who was behind
promoter.
The Paul is Dead and the whole thing. Russ Gibb is a legend in Detroit music. So Russ brought the music connections, I take it, and Richard brought
clearly.
The money. Did Richard
clearly.
Go on to do anything else, or was that it for music promotion for Richard Sunger?
As far as I know, that was it for music promotion for him. That may have done me in, too, so... Today, the site is Greenwood Acres Campground, and the festival's speaker and light towers are still there. The front of the stage area has been enclosed by part of the recreation center that's there.
Well, certainly there was a market for it when you figure, I think they were hoping maybe 60,000 would come, and they got some 200,000. It's too bad that didn't go on to become part of Michigan's music lore. The Michigan History Center's Mark Harvey sharing with us the flash in the pan that was the Goose Lake Music Festival that happened August 7th through the 9th in 1970. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you.